Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we're going to start a new series on the Book of Mormon. Is it fact or is it fiction? The Book of Mormon claims to be the most correct of any book on the earth and one that will draw you nearer to God than any other book. The Book of Mormon is published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and is venerated as sacred scripture by the Mormon Church and several splinter groups such as the Reorganized Church of Latter-day Saints. On one website it said that on average, 15,000 copies of the Book of Mormon are printed each day with a total of over 60 million published worldwide. They're given away at Mormon visitor centers, offered for free on TV commercials, found in the Marriott hotels, I'm told, and distributed by Mormon missionaries as they go door to door in your neighborhood. By the way, the Book of Mormon is just one of the books that the Latter-day Saint Church deems as sacred scripture. The other three are Doctrine and Covenants, The Pearl of Great Price, and last and least in their eyes, the Bible. However, unlike the Bible, the Book of Mormon is so important to the Mormon Church that founder and first prophet Joseph Smith said, "Take away the Book of Mormon and the Revelations, and where is our religion? We have none." Well, how about some background? How do we get the Book of Mormon anyway? Well, the Mormon Church story kind of goes like this. On September 21st, 1823, an angel named Moroni allegedly appeared to 17-year-old Joseph Smith and told him that ancient gold plates were buried in a hill near his home in upstate New York. The angel said that the plates contained an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the fullness of the everlasting gospel. 4 years later, on September 22, 1827, Joseph Smith was allowed to take possession of these plates and afterward translated them with the help of a seer stone from Reformed Egyptian, by the way, that language never existed, say linguists, into King James English. In 1830, the translation was published as the Book of Mormon. I know you've always wondered, well, what's the Book of Mormon about anyway? Well, Mormons will tell you that as the Bible is a historical record of the old world in Palestine, the Book of Mormon is a historical record of the new world, that is, the ancient Americas. The story kind of goes like this. In the ancient past, around the time of the Tower of Babel, a group of people who were known as the Jaredites migrated to the new world. However, as sinful man has a tendency to do, they destroyed themselves, 2 million of them, in civil war on the hill Cumorah in upstate New York. Well, after that, in about 600 BC, a Jewish family from Jerusalem migrated to the Americas. The father's name was Lehi, and he had two sons. One, the good guy, was named Nephi. His other son, Laman, was rebellious and fathered a group of people called the Lamanites. The Lamanites were cursed with dark skin because of their wickedness, and the two groups, the Lamanites and the Nephites, fought with each other continually. However, the crowning event that is documented in the Book of Mormon is the visitation of Jesus Christ to the land of the New World in about 34 AD, after his death and resurrection in Israel. His visit brought centuries of peace, and many allegedly were converted to Christianity. However, things got bad again, and another battle occurred on the hill Cumorah, and the Lamanites killed off all the Nephites except for one man. His name was Moroni, who later became the angel who appeared to the teenage Joseph Smith, telling him of a book engraved on gold plates buried in the hill Cumorah, which would reveal the account of the former inhabitants of the New World. Well, it's somewhat of a fascinating story, isn't it? But the big question today is it true? We'll be discussing the evidence for the authenticity of the Book of Mormon in this study. Keep in mind also that this story of the Book of Mormon isn't just presented by the Mormon Church as a historical fact, but as the inspired Word of God, Holy Scripture. Remember, Mormons tout it as a book that is the keystone of their religion and one that would draw one closer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Well, is it a companion to the Bible? Although the intro to the Book of Mormon states that the Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible, it is not friendly to the Bible at all. The Mormon 8th Article of Faith says, quote, "We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God." The Book of Mormon states, quote, "They have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away." Hey, right now about 900 red flags should be waving out there. Well, consider, as Robert Bowman, an apologist, stated, he said, "The Book of Mormon contains numerous sentences and paragraphs, and in many cases whole chapters repeated from the Bible, usually duplicating the King James Version nearly word for word." By the way, even the italicized words from the King James Version that were added to the Bible by the King James Version translators ended up in the Book of Mormon. Well, it gets even more fantastic when you consider that the text of the Book of Mormon was supposed to have been completely written by around 400 A.D., 1,200 years before the King James Version was published. Try that one at home. He goes on to say, "All in all, 18 out of 55 chapters in the first two books of the Book of Mormon are duplications of chapters from Isaiah in the Bible. In the remainder of the Book of Mormon, a full 7 chapters are repeated from the Bible, and all in all, over 1/10 of the chapters in the Book of Mormon are repetitions of chapters in the Bible. Yet this is just the tip of the iceberg, since biblical statements are found scattered throughout the Book of Mormon. According to Robert Bowman, at least 1/5 of the Book of Mormon is taken from the Bible." Well, why do I say all this? Because this presents a huge problem for Mormons who claim that the Bible is not translated correctly, or is it completely trustworthy. When pressed, Mormons usually respond that they don't know where the Bible has been altered and changed. Well, logically speaking, if the Bible is corrupted and you don't know where, what's to say that the Book of Mormon doesn't actually contain part of that corruption and be untrustworthy itself? Well, if the Book of Mormon was a volume of Scripture comparable to the Bible, would we expect to find the same gospel in it? Yes, of course. God's revelations cannot contradict a former revelation. However, the Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible in some key areas. One of these is the teaching in Alma 7, verse 10, that Jesus was born at Jerusalem. Of course, he wasn't born at Jerusalem, but Bethlehem. Even the unbelievers know that. The Mormons try to sneak past this one by saying that Bethlehem was a suburb of Jerusalem, but it doesn't work because Jerusalem was a walled city. You were either in Jerusalem or you were outside of Jerusalem. Secondly, the Book of Mormon teaches a form of modalism, saying that Jesus is both the Father and the Son. Modalism is an old heresy condemned by the early church, but it still exists today in groups such as Oneness Pentecostals, and this is in contrast to Trinitarianism, which states that the Father and the Son are both fully God, yet different persons. By the way, if Mormonism was the same as Christianity, as many are so fond of promoting today in the name of religious tolerance and ecumenicalism, ask yourself this: why does Mormonism even exist? Why are they sending out hundreds of thousands of missionaries all over the world if Mormonism is the same as Christianity? Why play the game if your church is a nice church just like their church? Of course, they know it's not the same, in contrast to many Christians who think it is. That's why they exist. Another thing, if the Book of Mormon contains, as it claims, the fullness of the everlasting gospel, why is there so much missing in the Book of Mormon that is currently taught as critical doctrine by the Mormon Church? Things like the plurality of gods, that God is an exalted man, men may become gods, baptism for the dead, man pre-existed in heaven, celestial marriage, the word of wisdom, etc. All these and more are not taught in the Book of Mormon, the book containing the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Well, although the Latter-day Saint Church attacks the Bible, teaching that many changes and alterations were made, it conveniently fails to mention that today's edition of the Book of Mormon contains about 4,000 changes from the first edition. Spelling and punctuation errors aside, it contains historical, grammatical, and doctrinal changes that are well documented. Well, how about some objective evidence for the authenticity of the Book of Mormon? Now, this isn't spiritual evidence or doctrinal, but just some hard, external, factual evidence to determine if the Book of Mormon's story is even historically true. Can we even believe that the story presented in the Book of Mormon is true, let alone inspired scripture? Well, let's for fun contrast the evidence for the authenticity of the Book of Mormon with that of the Bible. How about geography? Well, look at the Bible first. The Bible mentions places like the Jordan River, the Dead Sea, Capernaum, Nazareth, Bethlehem, Judah, Egypt, etc. Can we find these places on a map and even go to visit them? Yes. How about the Book of Mormon? It names large cities such as Nephi, Manti, Zarahemla, Sidon, Jershon, and Bountiful. Can we find these places on a map? No, nowhere. Keep in mind that many of these places weren't little towns, but were supposed to be huge, developed cities. Go to the airport. Tell the airline clerk that you want to board the next plane to Bountiful or Zarahemla. It won't happen, guaranteed. There is no evidence outside the Book of Mormon at all that these places ever existed anywhere. How about people groups and nations? Well, the Bible mentions groups such as the Jews, who still exist today, the Egyptians. It mentions the Roman Empire. How do we know that the Roman Empire existed? Well, it has written records. They left coinage, remains, etc. Even groups like the Canaanites and the Philistines, who no longer exist today, at least have archaeological evidence to support that they once did exist. Look at the Book of Mormon. Huge empires such as the Jaredite civilization, the Nephite civilization, and the Lamanites, which allegedly flourished in the ancient Americas for centuries, are nowhere to be found. Not one archaeological trace anywhere. Huge empires don't just disappear. They always leave ruins, houses, coins, tombs, weapons, writings, something. To just disappear with no evidence of its past is truly unheard of. How about historical figures? The Bible contains people like King David, Isaiah, Caiaphas, Herod, Pontius Pilate, those who are found written about in extra-biblical writings proving that they existed. Let's look at the Book of Mormon. Although the Book of Mormon claims it was written by many ancient prophets, there is no evidence that they ever existed. Names like Alma, Mosiah, Helaman, Nephi, no record of their existence is to be found anywhere in archaeology or any historical writing outside the Mormon Church. Well, we'll pick up more next week with Mormon Scripture, Conviction or Contradiction. But please don't use this information to just ridicule Mormons, but to love them out of Mormonism. They need to present it with the truth that will set them free. Last week we began a study on the Book of Mormon. I said that the Book of Mormon is regarded by the Latter-day Saint Church as a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible, which is said to contain the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The book claims to be the keystone of the Mormon faith, the most correct of any book on the earth, and that one would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Although the Book of Mormon is lauded as a historical account of several great civilizations that existed in the Americas before 400 AD, we examined hard evidence for the authenticity of the story in the book and found it wanting. We saw that all the people groups mentioned in the Book of Mormon, of all of them, none have been found to have existed. There have been no archaeological finds, no written records, no coinage, no weapons, nothing found from their great battles, and no skeletal remains exist resulting from their great wars where hundreds of thousands of people were allegedly killed in battle on the Hill Cumorah in upstate New York. Well, the prospect of the veracity of the Book of Mormon gets worse when you consider that other than the ones named in the Bible, none of the places mentioned in the Book of Mormon can be found. None of the prophets have been found to have existed. And although these writings were supposed to have been completed by 400 AD, there is absolutely no manuscript evidence from any book included in the Book of Mormon anywhere. In contrast, the hard evidence to support the truth of the Bible is huge. Archaeology, history, and manuscript evidence abounds to prove the truth of the Bible, so much that the Smithsonian admits to having used the Bible as a guide for research, but says they never used the Book of Mormon as a guide. The reason is simple. The Book of Mormon is a fictional account of one man, Joseph Smith, and is a blatant lie deceiving millions of precious souls in slavery to the works-based salvation presented by the Mormon Church. Well, today we're going to look at the Book of Mormon and Mormonism from another angle. That is, do the scriptures of Mormonism support themselves or contradict themselves? Remember, the Latter-day Saint Church holds four books in esteem as Holy Scripture. They are, in order of importance, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, and lastly, the Bible. We're going to compare three of these books with each other to see if the same teachings can be found to harmonize with each other. After all, if God did inspire all the four books that Mormons regard as Scripture, we would expect to find consistency in doctrine, practice, and revelation throughout. But do they pass the test? Let's see. Well, number one, how many gods are there? Well, the Book of Mormon, in there, check out this dialogue from Amulek, who was a prophet of God in the Book of Mormon, and Zizram. This is from Alma chapter 11. Quote, "And Amulek said unto him, Yea, if it be according to the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me, for I shall say nothing which is contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. And Zizram said unto him, Thou sayest, there is a true and living God? And Amulek said, Yea, there is a true and living God. Now Zizram said, Is there more than one God? And he answered, No. Now Zizram said, How knowest these things? And he said, An angel hath made them known unto me. So the Book of Mormon plainly teaches there is only one God. Hey, no problem with that, right? But listen to this excerpt from one of their later scriptures called the Book of Abraham from the Pearl of Great Price. Quote, "And the Lord said, Let us go down. And they went down at the beginning, and they, that is the gods, organized and formed the heavens and the earth. And the spirit of the gods was brooding upon the face of the waters. And they, the gods, said, Let there be light. And there was light. And they, the gods, comprehended the light, for it was bright. And the gods called the light day, and the darkness they called night." And it keeps going at that. Mormonism started with the belief in monotheism, the belief that there is only one God. But through Joseph Smith's later revelations came the belief they hold today that there are many gods and many universes, a clear violation of each other and a stark contradiction to the Bible's teaching supporting monotheism. What about the nature of God? Well, the Book of Mormon says that God is a spirit. By the way, so does John 4:24 in the Bible. In Alma 18, there's a conversation between Ammon and King Lamoni. And then Ammon said, "Believest thou that there is a great spirit?" And he said, "Yea." And Ammon said, "This is God." And Ammon said unto him again, "Believest thou that this great spirit who is God created all things which are in heaven and in the earth?" And he said, "Yea." But later writings in the Mormon scripture, called Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, says this, quote, "The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also, but the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit." Did you hear that? The Father has a physical body of flesh and bones? So Joseph Smith's later revelations contradict the former record in the Book of Mormon, as it also contradicts the clear Bible teaching in the Gospels. By the way, this later revelation from Doctrine and Covenants that God the Father has a physical body is currently taught in Mormonism, even going so far as to teach that God is an exalted man. Consider this statement from founder Joseph Smith, from the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. "God himself was once a man, as we are now, and is exalted man, and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. For I am going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. He was once a man like us, yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on an earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did." Well, number three, how about polygamy? Well, it might surprise you to learn that polygamy is condemned in the Book of Mormon. Although most Mormons do not practice it today, many of the early Mormons did, including Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, having dozens of wives. You might wonder how they got away with it when considering these verses from the Book of Mormon. In Jacob 1:15 it says, "And now it came to pass that the people of Nephi, under the reign of the second king, began to grow hard in their hearts and indulged themselves somewhat in wicked practices, such as like unto David of old, desiring many wives and concubines." In Jacob 2:24 it says, "Behold, David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord." But conveniently, Joseph Smith received a later revelation recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, section 132. It says, "If any man espouse a virgin and desire to espouse another, and the first give her consent, and if he espouse the second, and they are virgins, and have vowed to no other man, then is he justified. He cannot commit adultery, for they are given unto him. And if he have 10 virgins given unto him by this law, he cannot commit adultery." Number 4, can murder be forgiven? In the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi, it says, "Turn all ye Gentiles from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, of your lyings and deceivings, and your idolatries, and of your murders, and from all your wickedness and abominations, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost." But Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 18, says, "And now, behold, I speak unto the church, thou shalt not kill, and he that kills shall not have forgiveness in this world, nor in the world to come." See the contradiction? One scripture of Mormonism says murder can be forgiven. One scripture says it can't be. By the way, what does the Bible say on this important topic? Can murder be forgiven? Yes, God is so merciful and forgiving that even murderers can be forgiven if they come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith in his finished work on the cross. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." In Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, it says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Number 5, and here is a doozy. Can God lie? Well, the Book of Mormon in Ether 3:12 says, "Yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth and cannot lie." 2 Nephi 9 says, "Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell." But in The Pearl of Great Price, another book venerated as Holy Scripture in Mormonism, it says this about Abraham in the Book of Abraham, chapter 2. "And I, Abraham, journeyed, and there was a continuation of a famine in the land, and I, Abraham, concluded to go down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine became very grievous. And as it came to pass, when I was come near unto Egypt, the Lord said unto me, Behold, Sarai, thy wife, is a very fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see her, they will say, She is his wife, and they will kill you, but they will save her alive. Therefore, see that you do this wise. Let her say unto the Egyptians, She is thy sister, and thou soul shall live. And it came to pass that I, Abraham, told Sarai, my wife, all that the Lord has said unto me. Therefore say unto them, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Did you hear all that? The Mormon God commanded Abraham to lie about the identity of his wife. Do you want to follow a God like that? By the way, if this story sounds vaguely familiar to you, the real story is found in Genesis chapter 12. But in it, it wasn't God who told Abraham to lie about Sarah, but Abraham came up with the idea all by himself. Number 6. Does God dwell in our heart? Well, the Book of Mormon in Alma chapter 34, verses 36 says, "And I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell." However, Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, speaking of John 14:23, it says, "The appearing of the Father and the Son in that verse is a personal appearance, and the idea that the Father and the Son dwell in a man's heart is an old sectarian notion and is false." You know, you may be wondering, how can a Mormon stay in his religion with all the contradictions? Good question, not an easy answer. Well, number one, perhaps the God of this world has blinded them to the truth, deceiving them through the use of false prophets and a false teacher. Absolutely. Also, for a Mormon to leave his religion, you have to understand that once convinced that it isn't true, it's a very frightening prospect. When in a cult, leaving the cult usually means leaving friends, leaving family, leaving jobs, and leaving even children and spouses behind, perhaps forever, or until God saves them too. But however, we shouldn't let this potential tragedy stop us from witnessing the truth of the gospel to them. Think about the frightening tragedy if they don't leave their religion and don't get saved. I think the words of Jesus are appropriate here in Mark chapter 10. Verses 28 to 30, "Then Peter began to say unto him, See, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." If you're interested in a copy of this two-part teaching on the Book of Mormon, contact me by email or phone. My email is help@towertotruth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. For more information on Mormonism and other cults, our website again is towertotruth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things. If you're interested in a copy of this two-part teaching on the Book of Mormon, contact me by email or phone. My email is help@towertotruth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. For more info on Mormonism and other cults, our website again is towertotruth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for Mormon Scripture, Conviction or Contradiction. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.